The Christian brothers who taught me loved to talk about what life would be like in heaven, and for them God's home was as real and solid as any building in Delhi. The Swamis and Yogis agreed with that, but only because they believed that spirit, which has no form, permeates every plane of existence. Depending on your level of awareness, spirit can fashion itself into any image. You project your own heavens, hells, and purgatories to work through on the physical plane as well as astral planes. In the astral plane, suffering and enjoyment occurs in the imagination, even though it appears to be real. Ironically, someone who has been a skeptic in this world will likely be a skeptic in the astral planes. He won't realize that he's in the very plane he doesn't believe exists. My Christian teachers relished the idea that every desire would come true in heaven, and once again the Swamis agreed in their way. Desire is still crucial after death. Evolution is really the process of fulfillment of desire. In the astral world, you fulfill and refine desires left over from your last physical life. You also refine your knowledge and experiences from the material world. Here, the soul stores up energy for its higher, more evolved desires so that they might be fulfilled on its next visit to the physical plane when it inhabits a new body. In India, someone dies after reaching the maximum evolution allotted to that lifetime. They have come to the end of what their karma can teach them. The same holds true in the mirror of the astral world. Once a soul has reached full evolution for that astral lifetime, it goes back into a dormant state, preparing for manifestation in the physical plane in a new incarnation. Somehow, during this second period of slumber, the soul finds a set of suitable parents so it may be reborn to continue its evolution. According to the India of my childhood, an element of choice does come into play. The degree of choice you have depends on how clearly you can view yourself in the astral plane. This faculty, called witnessing, is comparable to what we experience here and now. Those of us who have the least freedom of choice are driven by obsessions, compulsions, addictions, and unconscious impulses. To the extent that you become free of these, you have more choice. The same is true of a soul contemplating its next physical incarnation. Saints and sages are clear witnesses in this lifetime. For the great sages and saints, none of this happens unconsciously. They recall their own past life experiences as clearly as you and I might evoke yesterday's events. By developing your ability to witness, to be aware of your situation, you will be able to influence the physical and astral lives you incarnate into. You will also be able to speed up the process of working through your karma. In the same way you can refine your skills and talents to achieve your physical goals, you can also develop skills and talents on the astral plane. This explains, among other things, how great artists and musicians can exhibit their abilities at uncanny ages, often before they turn 3. Being born with a talent is no accident. Whenever you are born physically or astrally, you bring along the talents you have developed from all your previous existences. Soul bonds and relations occur on the astral plane just as they occur in the physical world. When the disembodied soul tunes in to the frequency of a loved one back on the physical plane, that person may feel the presence of the departed. Souls can commune even though one is vibrating in the material plane and the other in the astral plane. Relationships on all planes advance your evolution. The soul's motivation to keep coming back to the material plane is twofold: to fulfill desires and to rejoin with familiar souls. We relate now to those people whose souls we related to in the past. We end relationships with people whose souls no longer vibrate with ours.